In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Welcome back to your program, Word of Life. And let's continue our commentaries on the Gospel of St. Mark. Now we are on the verse 17 of chapter 10. Now as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." Look to this man who came running and knelt before the Lord. This means that the question in his mind is bothering him, and he is very much focused on the idea of eternal life. And this is, you know, a very good virtue one can have in his life, that we should concentrate on the kingdom of heaven, on the afterlife, and how can we catch this. So he came running, although he was a rich man, and usually the rich people do not run before the eyes of the people around, but he came running and he forgot himself, and he knelt before the Lord and he asked him loudly, saying, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" By saying "good teacher," this man needs to know that our Lord Jesus Christ is not only a teacher, but he is God. And he can never catch the kingdom of heaven without this belief in Jesus Christ as Lord, as God, and also as Savior. That's why our Lord said to him, "Why do you call me good?" He wants to push him into this faith, that if you see me as good, as God, why don't you believe me as God? If you Jews say usually that nobody is good but God, so you can feel that I am good, so then I am God. So by this question, somebody may think that the Lord is denying he is good. Never. No, the Lord did not mean this, but actually he meant the reverse. He meant that as far as he is good, so he is God, because no man is really good. Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God." So as if this belief is the first step to get eternal life. And without this faith, we cannot reach the kingdom of heaven. That's why before speaking about the commandments, the Lord spoke about the faith. We need to believe in our Lord Jesus Christ as God, so we can be saved. No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandment. The second step, that we should obey the Lord. We should follow the teaching of the Bible. And because this man was a good Jew, then the Lord spoke about the commandments, and he mentioned some of them, like saying, "Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother." And you can see that he did not mention all the commandments from the first one to the last one. Actually, he started from the middle, and then he spoke about the honoring the father and mother. So he was not telling the whole commandments. And he answered and said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." So this man is really good. He is trying to be good. He is really trying to catch the eternal life. But he believed that the commandments are not enough. Even obeying the commandments did not help him to feel secure that he will catch the kingdom of heaven. That's why he spoke to the Lord saying, I already made all of this. I obeyed these commandments. I kept from my youth. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. So when the Lord looked at him, he looked at him in a loving way, in a caring way. That's why St. Mark put it this way, looking at him, loved him. What's exactly the meaning of loving him at this moment? Actually, I think he was smiling, he was looking at him carefully with his very loving eyes. So the man felt that he is really beloved by the Lord. So as if the Lord is telling us, if you really care for the kingdom of heaven, I love you more. If you follow the commandments, I really love you. If you care to obey my word, I'm happy with you. But still, you need to do more. You need to go further in my way. One thing you lack. So this man, you know, was obeying the commandment in a literal way, in maybe in a Pharisee way, not in the loving, spiritual way from the inside to the outside. That's why the Lord said, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor. So the Lord could see what's inside. And he saw in the heart of this good man that he still loves money and he cared much for his richness. That's why this stands an obstacle in his way to the kingdom of heaven. He needs to repent. He needs to get rid of this desire to be more rich. That's why the Lord said, sell whatever you have and give to the poor. And if this kind of giving virtue will help you to purify your heart and to get rid of all bad desires and to step further in the way of the Lord and to be as good as His likeness, our Lord Jesus Christ. One thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. So as far as this man believes much in the kingdom of heaven, in the eternal life, why don't you put your money there? Why don't you save your treasure there? Why you keep the treasure on earth as far as you are busy with heaven? So this is, you know, another commandment, which, you know, resembles the first commandment, that one should love the Lord from all his heart. Inside this heart is other desires, not the desire to please the Lord, but also the desire to gain money and to be rich. That's why he lacks this. He is not ready yet because he still cares much for his money. Sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. So in the New Testament, the Lord added, completed the commandments by following the steps of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because he came, God incarnate on earth, he lived among us, and he showed us how to live a holy life. So we should follow his steps, and we should carry the cross after him. And by doing this, we can be saved and get the eternal life. What does he mean by taking up the cross? Or in another verse, carrying the cross. You know, by carrying the cross, we mean that we are ready to lose our life in our road to heaven. We are ready to die anytime for the sake of our mission or for the sake of the gospel and the word of God. So carrying the cross means we are ready to be crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this means also that we will struggle more and more to be purified and to live a holy life according to His commandments. By the word follow me, means that we should focus on the Lord, because He is the one who catches the kingdom of heaven. We are getting this gift out of His hand. So we should follow Him in all His steps, in all His teachings. But he was sad, the rich man, at this word, and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So this means that he cares for his money. Remember our forefather Abraham. He was more rich than this man, but actually he did never focus on his money. He cared nothing for the money. He was always praying, spending time with the Lord, happy with the Lord, loving the Lord from all his heart, so he could easily follow his Lord. But with this commandment, he was sad. So this simplified the truth that sometimes when we read the Bible, we got sad because we couldn't complete the orders of the Bible. We could see the truth clearly, that we are not up to the standards of the Bible. But you know, there are two types of being sad, of sadness. The good type, the spiritual one, which will help you to repent and to change in your life. Another kind of being sad is to be just sorrowful and unhappy, and you leave the way and forget the whole mission. So we need to prevent this and change the sadness into a positive one, to repent and to get rid of the bad desires inside the heart. He was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. How hard it's for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, "Children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When this man left the Lord and the disciples, the Lord looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it's for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God." Which means that it's not easy for a rich man to forget about his treasures, his richness. It's not easy for a rich man to be humble and to look after the poor. It's not easy for a rich man not to feel proud of himself and superior to others. So it's not easy, because the way to the kingdom of heaven needs humility, needs caring for the poor, needs loving everyone, needs respecting the lower people. So it's not easy, you know. It's hard, but you know, it's never impossible. Although it's hard, it's never impossible. So the disciples were astonished, because they believed that the rich man could easily catch the kingdom of heaven by some givings, by some good deeds. But Jesus answered again and said to them, "Children, how hard it's for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God." So it's not the problem of being rich. No, it's mainly the problem of trusting money. If you trust money, now you cannot trust God. If you believe much in money, you cannot believe much in God. If you obey the rules of money matters in the world, you cannot obey the commandments of the Lord. If you care for being more rich, you can never be more spiritual. So That's why it's hard for the rich people, because usually they trust their money and they put their faith in their treasures. To enter the kingdom of God, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And that was a very strange example. But actually, some of the forefathers said that there were at that time some door in Jerusalem, door in the wall around Jerusalem called the eye of a needle. And this door was a bit small one, and the roof is a bit low. That's why when the camels were coming to enter the Jerusalem, usually they should unload the camels and, you know, push the camel on his knees and push the camel inside this door. That's why it was like a common example saying it's, you know, easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Saint Cyril, the Egyptian, you know, said once that this, you know, the needle, the eye of a needle, was in different story. The ropes of the boats, usually they have something they call it eye of a needle. They should put this rope inside the eye of the needle in order to hold the boat strongly. And it's not easy. Usually it's not easy. But again, it's never impossible. So by saying it's hard or not easy means we need to struggle, we need to push more, we need to care more, but we never need to lose hope. And that's the words our Lord will say now. They were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? They said, who then can be saved? Because they got astonished, they believed in many good rich people. First of all, by saying this, we can answer easily that the poor are much easier to catch kingdom of heaven. But you know, poverty in itself is not a virtue, but living in faith is a virtue. Giving the poor is a virtue. Surrender to God everything is a virtue. But poverty by itself is not a real virtue. But Jesus looked at them and said, with men it's impossible. So if you are rich and you cannot get rid of this desire of being more rich, it's not possible for you alone to get rid of this. It's not possible for you alone to change your mind and heart and focus on the kingdom of heaven. You need the providence of God, the grace of God to help you. It's with men it's impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. So again, after he said that it's hard for the rich man to enter the kingdom of God, now he's saying it's possible for God to help many rich one to enter the kingdom of heaven. And you know, this theme is very important in our life. With man it's impossible, but not with God. We can say so on many things, you know, for some problems we can say with man now it's impossible, but with God it's never impossible. In some diseases we can say medically with man now it's impossible, but not with God. So it's like a theme we can live with, that the impossible things before the eyes of man is usually possible and easily managed by the hands of God. Then Peter began to say to him, see, we have left all and followed you. Then Peter made a chance of this and he told the Lord that, remember Lord, we left everything for your sake. So as if he was saying, we followed what you were saying just now for the rich man. You asked him to leave everything and to sell all treasures and coming following you. So we did so. We left everything. Although Saint Peter did not leave much because he was not rich, and most of the disciples were poor, so they did not leave much. But actually the Lord encouraged them, saying, so Jesus answered and said, Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house, or brothers, or sisters, or father or mother, or wife or children, or lands for my sake, and the Gospels, who shall not receive hundredfold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters, mothers, children and lands, with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. So when Saint Peter asked the Lord about the disciples and what they did already, they left many things to follow him. He encouraged them, saying, I can see what's exactly you left for me. And I am saying to you that no one left house, brothers, sisters, mothers, wives. But you know, leaving wives does not mean separation or divorce. It means you may leave the story of marriage, like the monks. They left the being married or having family for the sake of the gospel or the sake of heaven. Or you know, some servant may leave his wife few days to serve in a country or a village. So this kind of leaving away for the sake of the kingdom is very much recorded before the eyes of the Lord and very much considered. Or lands. So he puts the relationships like mother, father, children, brothers, and he puts also the treasures like lands, houses and many things. So as if there are two main kinds of leaving for God. Leaving the relationships and leaving, you know, the money, treasures or whatever you have in your life. So in both sides, God said, you will receive a hundredfold now in this time. Hundredfold of what? Of maybe the love of people. You will get more love from the people around you. When you leave the people for the sake of the Lord, you will be more beloved by the people. And when you leave money for the Lord, money will come after you. You will never feel poor because you will be always covered in all aspects of life by His grace. Houses, brothers, sisters, mother, children, lands, and persecution. That's strange actually. In the gift of God, the reward of God, for those who leave for Him many things, He will reward them with many things, but also He will reward them with persecutions. This is, you know, looks strange. How could persecution be kind of rewarding? But you know, because the reward of persecution is very much higher in heaven. Those who were persecuted in the name of the Lord get more and more crowns in heaven and gifts in the eternal life. So persecution on earth is kind of gift and reward. It's not kind of punishment. So enjoy your persecution if you have any, and believe much that this will help you to be crowned in the day of judgment. And in the age to come, eternal life. So this kind of rewarding on earth will be from the same type you left. If you leave some relationships, you will get more and more love from others and from many. When you leave money, money will come easy in your life, but you will never look after money. But the eternal reward is much precious than any reward on earth. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. So although the Lord encouraged the disciples because they left for him many things, and they saw the rich man went sorrowful and left the disciples in a sadness way, because he couldn't, you know, follow the commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord mentioned that for those who you see now as last, they could be first one day. And you, being first nowadays, you may be last one day. And you know, this verse applied perfectly on the story of Judas, you know, because he followed his desire of making money and he lost his love to the Lord. He was considered as first, as one of the 12 disciples, but he considered at last as last. Now they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was going before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. Why they were amazed and why they were afraid, that we will see in our next meeting on your program of Word of Life. Glory to God. Amen.